I've titled the sermon this morning, Not All Who Wander Are Lost. And no, this isn't one of those Pacific Northwest hiking sermons. I mean that when I say it this way, I mean not all who wander, say, away from here, from this place. Not all who wander away are lost. There's hope. There's hope. And these verses call us to action. They call us to move in love and to pursue the wanderer. It's an amazing way that James would choose to end his book. It seems fairly abrupt, but this is how he wanted to end it. After all that's been said, these final two verses he puts before us now. So let's begin with a little story about my chihuahua. Okay, that's my dog, Remy. He's 11 years old now. You can see the age in his eyes. Well, in his beard there. He is a great dog. Best dog I've ever had. Loves to snuggle. Loves to bark at the UPS guy. And if you ever ring the doorbell, you will know it at our house. He comes undone. There was a day a number of years ago where the side gate in our backyard was left open. And we let Remy out and didn't think twice and closed the door. And then a little while later, I was thinking, you know, I wonder where our dog went. I don't see him. So I just poked my head out and called him, you know, no response. Well, I went around and I saw the open gate. And at that point, I realized Remy had made a break. And he was probably living his best life, right? Running the neighborhood. So here's the question. In that moment, what do you do? What do you do? How do you respond? Well, I'm sure he'll be fine. Go back in, turn on the TV. Kick your feet up. He'll probably find his way home. No, I'll tell you what we did. We mobilized. We got the family out. We're calling. And thankfully, the little guy, he's so good. He didn't go far. He didn't go far. We brought him back, made sure the gate was closed, and all was well. But I tell that story to illustrate these verses, to kind of prepare us to think about a situation like this. Okay, so let's get in here and see these verses. Just two here today. James says it this way, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What beautiful verses. What a calling, friends, this is to us. I want to kind of consider this by way of survey. So let's step back a minute from these verses and consider. First of all, the wandering is from the truth. It's a wandering from the truth. Now, why would that happen? Well, it's not hard to imagine, right? First of all, the pressure to conform in our day. It's not new pressure. There's always been pressure to conform, right? The pattern of the world presses us like a mold. It wants us to be conformed, not to Christ, not to holiness and righteousness, but to the pattern of the world. It presses upon us. There is intense pressure to conform. In this day, James is addressing Jews specifically who were scattered under intense persecution. And standing out as a believer when you are being actively persecuted is actually quite difficult. It's actually a lot easier to put on the camouflage, isn't it? And to blend in. To in the school system, when they identify, oh, you're one of those? You're a Jesus person? You're about Jesus? To be like, well, you know, yeah, it's sort of a thing, you know. Don't worry, I'm not weird or anything. No, to put the camouflage on. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be labeled like that. How easy it is to cave to the pressure. Peer pressure is a strong and powerful thing. We watched as the world went through COVID and then all the BLM stuff. There was intense peer pressure pushed upon people. And many bent the knee. Many caved to it. Even among the church, there were many who followed the current trend around. To escape persecution, to escape hardship, just to escape the uncomfortable, just the discomfort of being, you know, standing out as light when the darkness is all around. Reminds me of what Paul told Timothy. All who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. If you seek to live like Jesus in this world, you are going to draw fire. It's going to come in various ways. It may not all come the same way for all of us, but it's going to come. All who seek to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. And it will increase. It will go from bad to worse. It will continue to devolve as time goes by. It's interesting here, the word wander is the word planao. It's actually kind of one of the connective words to planet. It's like a wandering luminary or a wandering star, a star that kind of wanders off. Planao is the word. What's interesting about it, though, is it's in a passive tense. This wandering can also be translated as to be led astray or to be deceived. So there is a wandering sense that they wander from the truth. They're choosing, right? They're responsible, but they have been led astray. Someone has been deceiving them. Someone has been giving them, terrible counsel, bad instruction, shaping them, pointing them in the wrong way, and they're following it. A lot of people go off to college, and they get professors who speak purposely to undermine the Christianity that students have grown up in. And they'll say a little thing here and a little thing here, and they'll make light of this book. And then all of a sudden, the student is being led astray. They're deceived by falsehood. This is an all too common trend. Bad counsel can lead to this. False teaching, friends, it's everywhere. I just say this, it's not hard to get a pulpit in our day. It's not. It's not hard to get a podcast. Pretty much everyone has a podcast, right? There's never been a time in history where more people have been broadcasting their thoughts and seeking to gain a following and to exert influence on other people. And so we have to be aware of this. The pressure is intense. In some ways, it's more accessible than ever before. Worldly influences all around. We live in a godless culture that is bound up in sin and held captive by the enemy, which we find ourselves. We are in the world, friends, but we are not of the world. We aren't to be of the world anymore. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, what are they? Ravenous wolves. They want to devour you. And then Jesus says this, you're going to recognize them by their fruits. Study their lives. Look at the fruit of their ministry. Be discerning, Christian. Be discerning. This is a call to all of us. See to it, Paul says in Colossians, that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, but not according to Christ. Right? The point is how are we to walk in this world? According to Christ. We live by the Word. We let the light of the Word guide our path. But there are those who would seek to come in, enter into pulpits, preach today from churches, broadcast nationally on radio stations. And what are they doing? They are deceiving. They are leading people astray. There are people caught up in their deceit. There are people who are following them to their own destruction. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul says. Do not be pressed into the mold of this world. Kick your feet. Quit floating downstream. Right? Swim upstream, Christian. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But instead, be being transformed. What an amazing combination of Greek words that is. It's active, ongoing. Be being transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. What does that look like? The book in view. You're soaking in the Word. Through the Spirit at work, He is transforming your mind. Your heart is changed from the inside out. that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You want to know what to do? You want to know what is right and wrong, up from down? Go to the Word of God. Look to His Word. Now, the question that begs here, there's a lot of debate about it, is the one who is wandering here that James is referring to a believer or an unbeliever? Is he saved or is he not saved? And honestly, I don't know that we have to choose. There are arguments for both. I'll point these out. Look at the verse. My brothers, he's addressing brothers. He's addressing believers. He's speaking to the church. But he says, if anyone among you, that look around, that's us. It's right here. You're here today. You're among us. We know you. We care for you. You've been with us, journeying together on the walk of Christ. But if they wander from the truth and someone brings them back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner, okay, so who is the wanderer? Well, he's a sinner. Well, that's all of us in the room. It's every single one of us. But we'll save his soul from death. The word death there is not just physical death. It is eternal death. That's the fires of hell. And we'll cover a multitude of sins. I'll say more about that in a minute. Saving his soul from death, which means, Christian, I want to warn you today. This is a warning from Scripture, especially in the book of Hebrews. You hear this warning. Persevere in your faith. Do not turn aside. Do not run into the weeds. Don't go live in the dark. Christians, though not perfectly, will persevere to the end. Christians, those who are truly saved, will continue in the faith, and the Lord will keep them in the faith all the way to the end. It's not possible for someone who has been given eternal life to have it exchanged for temporal life. It is eternal life. It is given in the moment of your salvation. It is given, and you are held, you are kept, and you cannot lose that. But the call is, run from sin. The call is, don't go live in the dark. In a sense, make sure your calling and election are sure. Well, how do you do that? Walk in the light. Depend upon Christ. Obey Him. Don't wander from the truth. Every Christian needs to hear that today. Every true saved Christian. But if you're here and you're convinced that you are a Christian, but you're living in the dark, what would John say in 1 John? You're deceived. If you make your home in the dark and you care nothing for the light, but you have a fish on the bumper of your car that says you're a Christian, or you live in Linden, right? Because isn't everyone Christian up there? John is loving you by saying, don't be deceived. People who love the Lord, who are believers, who have life in them, have been called out of darkness and into light. So if you're here this morning, you're living in the dark, you need to repent. This would be the call for either situation. Repent. Turn from your sins. Don't run into the dark. Don't live there in your sin. Turn to the truth. Repent. Turn away from sin and turn to Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. Okay. So, number one, the culture around us is pressure. It's pushing upon us. But there is another aspect to this that has to be mentioned before we look more closely at the actual verses. It's our own propensity to wander. Our propensity to wander. See that, yes, we live in a culture. It's out there. But friends, we are at once righteous and sinner. We are still sinners. We are, as the song says, prone to wander. Do you feel it? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I always remember singing this song years ago, and I was working with my own heart to raise my hands because I felt so inhibited. And so I was like, come on, Jer, be free. Just let your hands raise at times when it's appropriate and your heart is... And we're singing this song one time, and we get to prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And I'm like, I'm there. And then I'm thinking, wait, I should probably not be raising my hand to this. That you know, but it's in us, isn't it? It's there, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above, for thy courts above. Christian, if you are in Christ, you are sealed. You're his. He has you in an invincible grip. Don't wander. Don't wander. Cling to him. He will keep you. If you wander, he will come for you. He will come for you. That's what these verses are pointing us to. There is an issue that must be addressed sometimes in parenting, even raising kids, or maybe sometimes even in kind of a homeschool culture. There is a tendency to say, well, you know, we want to raise our kids and keep them from the world. We want to keep them away from all the bad stuff. And so we create walls and kind of insulate. We build a bubble, as it were. And we think that if we can do that successfully, everything's going to be okay. However, there is a problem, because on the inside of the bubble, there's still sin, right? The reality is that we've got to be on guard, not only from what is out there, but from what is in here. There is sin in us. There is sin inside the bubble. We have this propensity toward disobedience, this echo of the fall. The world, the flesh, and the devil, our three big enemies. Right in the middle of the list, that's you. That's you, Christian. Yes, the devil is your enemy, but all he can do to you is tempt you. He cannot compel you to sin. You are the reason you sin, ultimately. You're free. Christian, I'm talking to Christians now, you are free to obey. And when you sin, it is your decision to sin. So we've got to be paying attention. It's not just out there, it's in here. I've got to be on my guard. I've got to guard my heart. James reminds us of this in chapter 1. Each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That is in the bubble. Which is why the writer of Proverbs here, Solomon, says, guard your heart, keep your heart. How? With vigilance. Be watchful, Christians, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart every day. Reminds me of that moment at the Last Supper where Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room, and he says, one of you who is eating right now is going to betray me. And with horror, all the disciples begin to be like, what? And then the question comes, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? I just would encourage you to this. If when you're listening to preaching, your first response is, I know so many people who need this sermon. And I don't miss it now. There may indeed be a need to leverage a sermon for a speck in a brother or sister's eye. But friends, first ask the question, am I the wanderer? Is it I, Lord? Am I in need of this sermon first? And usually the answer is, yeah, at least to some degree, I need this first. First and foremost, here. Lord, work here. And address the log in my eye so that I can then see clearly to help my brother or sister with the speck. Is it I, Lord? So when you leave on Sundays, first and foremost, ask the question, am I the wanderer? Am I in need of humility and repentance for sins that you have set in my view, in my life? And then, Lord, how do I move from there to the next question? How can I move then to pursue the wanderer? The call to pursue the wanderer is where we land here today in these verses. It says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back. Now I want to broaden this. It doesn't say pastors. Now, that includes pastors. It doesn't just say elders, does it? It says someone. He's talking to the brothers. He's saying, among God's people, if someone wanders from you, and someone that is among you brings him back, which means you're in view, Christian. This is an assignment for us all. We are all given this call. someone brings him back. Let him know whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What does this call to mind? Remember when Jesus told about the lost sheep? Sometimes we get this story wrong, that it's not about the 99 that he left, okay? Let's be clear. He did not leave them in a precarious place. He left them in safety with other shepherds in the care of the city where they were safe. So Jesus is not like, oh, there's one over here. I'm going to endanger the 99 to go get the... No. What he did was he said, that one sheep matters. Yes, I have 99, but that one that wandered matters, and I will go to great lengths to pursue that wandering sheep. This is our good shepherd. This is how he pursued you, Christian. This is how he met you. You're the wanderer. So am I. We were all of us wandering. Think of how he went in pursuit of Peter after he was raised from the dead. Right? I remember Owen preaching here last August. What a sermon that was. Look it up on YouTube. How Jesus went and pursued. He chased down Peter in his wandering after his betrayal. With great compassion and love, he pursued him. Pursuing the wanderer is not a spectator sport. You may have seen some of these viral videos that go on YouTube where someone is in trouble, they're in danger, and rather than step in, people get their phones out. It is a weird phenomenon in our day. What in the world is going on? Like, there are people who are being assaulted and harmed, beat up on the streets, and rather than stepping in, people are recording with their phones. When the wanderer wanders, don't get out your phone. Don't chit-chat about it. Go! It's not a spectator sport. Move! Make the phone call. Do the work. Go and pursue in love. Do what you can do. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, if someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, let's be clear here. The saving from death is something you cannot do. It's not in your ability to do. That's what only God can do that. Okay? However, as we said last week, God ordains both the ends and the means. So sometimes we're praying, we're saying, Lord, oh, I just pray for this person. I'm worried for their soul. I'm worried for what I'm seeing. It seems that they're being drawn into a homosexual lifestyle. And I just pray that you would turn them. And it may be that the answer to the prayer you're praying is you in that moment. That the means to accomplish what God has ordained to do is that you get off your knees in that moment and make a phone call. Or make a drive, or reach out in love. Lord, I'm worried. This person just seems to be caught up in false teaching. They're being led astray. I just pray for them. Okay, then what? Right? Is there something more that God is calling you to do? Are you the answer to the prayer that you are praying? Not to make us more important, right? God is the sovereign. But he ordains means, and that is us, his people. He works through us. And what does this mean? We'll cover a multitude of sins. Does that mean we get the broom out, we lift up the carpet, and we just sweep it under? Let's just pretend like there's no sin. Let's ignore it. Let's pretend like there's nothing wrong, and we'll all just be fine. That is the epitome of dysfunction. There is no sin. That's not what we're saying here. The covering of sin has everything to do with the cross of Christ. The covering of sin has everything to do with the love of Christ. How was it that the Israelites were delivered the night the destroyer moved through Egypt? By the blood that covered the doorpost of their house. That's the only way sin is covered. It's through the blood, the sacrifice of Christ. And so what is our call? Our call is point them to Christ where provision has been made. Repent of those sins. Turn and watch what God can do. Above all, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Now, what does that look like? When they repent, when they turn, when they come to the cross, and they acknowledge their sin, and they repent of it, and reconciliation happens. Here's what it doesn't look like. We hang it over them, right? It's a scarlet cord. We're like, yeah, I remember his story. I know what he did. No. Friends, east from the west. East from the west. It's gone. It's forgiven. Love covers a multitude of sins. As you have been forgiven, so also you must forgive. As you have been loved, so love. As you have been the recipient of the kindness and mercy and grace of God, so display that to one another. What an awesome calling this is. What a glory to see God work in our midst in this way. All of us sinners, all of us in need of grace and forgiveness. Bringing back the wanderer, six things here to encourage us on. Number one, love. Love. If I was sitting on my couch and I heard one of the kids say, oh, Remy's gone. Remy's gone. He's run off. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to keep watching TV. What is the problem in that moment? The problem is not a lack of action. The problem is a lack of love. Ultimately, we are compelled to move because of love. It is the love of God that compels us, that moves us, that gets us up, that picks up that phone, that makes the work and initiates the contact. Love. If you find a lack of love for a wanderer, repent. Repent of it. Lovelessness in your heart for one who is wandering may indeed be your own wandering that needs to be turned from. Love. Love. You were the wanderer, friend. So was I. Look what he did to chase us down. How could we ever fail to run after the one who has wandered? Start with love. Lord, move me in love. But then, courage. And this is tied to love. Courage to speak what is true. Courage to declare what is truth. Courage to reach out and engage what may be very uncomfortable, to confront, to address the sin, right? We don't love if we just pretend like everything's honky-dory. No, we reach out and we address it. That takes courage. Where does that come? From the Lord. Look to him. Lord, give me the courage. This is not my natural inclination, right? So many of us here, conflict, we're like, where's the door, right? Let's go. We're going the other way. No, but friends, in this moment, it's love. It's love to reach out, to engage, to make that contact. And when it comes and we engage, how do we do it? Well, humbly. We do so humbly. Like the grace that we have been given, we hold out that grace. That's the call. Graciously. With overflowing grace. We remember that we received from the Lord what we didn't deserve. And we are quick to then move and show to others what they may not deserve. We did not receive justice from God, did we? We didn't. We received grace. So when we pursue the wanderer, or when the wanderer comes back, how are we going to respond? Humbly, friends, in gospel joy. Run like the father ran to the prodigal and wrapped his arms around his son's neck. Run with joy to embrace. How do we engage? We also do so gently, with gentleness, not scorn, not an iron fist. How dare you make it about yourself? No, love them gently. patiently, with kindness, handle with care. But what is amazing about these verses, and I was just struck by this again and again as I studied them, is what we are called to here, we cannot do on our own. It's the same in evangelism. We are called to go to the nations and proclaim the gospel to the saving of souls, but we can't save souls. We can't change hearts. Only the sovereign God can do that. We're not supposed to just drag people by their neck back into church. Oh, I returned him. He's back. He's flopping around. No, he'll be fine. He's here. It's all that matters. No, it's not like that, is it? So we go prayerfully, and we raise prayers among God's people. I'm reaching out. Pray. Pray that the Lord would do what we can't do. Pray that the Lord would change hearts and engage and turn. Oh, Lord, we look to you. Turn this person, this brother, this sister, this even maybe unsaved person, do what we can't do. We're going to go do what we're called to do, but we acknowledge we can't change hearts. So we do so with great dependence. And parents of prodigals, this is for you. With perseverance, we pursue the wanderer. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't grow weary. I know some of your stories. My heart breaks for you. Some of you are 5, 6 years in, pleading with the Lord. Pray, oh Lord, turn him. Turn him back. Some of you are dealing with just brutal situations. Some of you are in a grandparent situation. And you're pleading with the Lord every day, every day. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. God can indeed bring them home. God can do it to his glory. Persevere in faith and rest in his sovereignty. At the end of the day, God is the one who saves. He is the one who saves. Our response this morning. Let's go to Isaiah, or I guess it's 1 Peter, as he quotes, looking back to Isaiah 53. Peter says it this way, he himself, that's Jesus, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And then he says this way, by his wounds you've been healed. Healed from what? Why did we need righteousness? Why was he dying for our sins? Well, you were straying. You were wandering like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christian, that's your story. You are the wanderer. Who did God send for you? How did he meet you? How did he call you back? How did he bring you to life? There was someone or some means that he ordained. And in this room, know this as you think, that means to that kind of return could indeed be you. It could be you. I have parents regularly come. I have grandparents regularly come. My kids are coming to church today. Please join me in praying for them. Please pray that my grandkids will hear the gospel, and that God will do what I can't. I've been praying for years for them. Please join me in that. Friends, let's do that together. It's our story. It's our story. Not all who wander are lost. That's the point. That's the encouragement. That's the hope. God will bring some home. He will bring some home. And he will bring some to life who now are not alive in spiritually at all, that he will bring some to life. Who do you need to pursue this week? That's the question. Right now, as the Spirit of God works, who is he placing upon your heart? Who do you need to reach out to encourage? I would ask this question. Are you the wanderer this morning? Are you the wanderer? Maybe we should ask that before this. There is no joy like when the wanderer returns. And if God can find a way to use you to help someone return to the truth, to the family of God, to sing his praise, oh, may that be the case. May he use us all in some way or another. And when they come, arms open wide to God's glory and to highlight the glory of the gospel that has so captured our gaze. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we make much of you. We thank you, Good Shepherd, for your pursuit of us, the straying sheep, the lost sheep, the one that just ran over the top of the hill and just kept going. Lord, where would we be if you would not have pursued us? Where would we be? We thank you, we bless you, we honor you, O God. You pursued us, you came for us. In our weakness, in our deception, in our lost condition, and you saved us. All glory to you, O Lord. May we be used by you as the means to your ordained ends to bring back those who would ever wander from this place, from this family. Lord, use us all to that end, we pray. I pray that we would be quick to run and to pursue any who would wander off, be deceived or led astray. Oh God, at the end of the day, we thank you for the gospel. What hope we have in it. What joy there is in forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration and love. Oh, we will sing forever the accomplishments of you, oh God. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. What a fitting sermon. To be leading up to baptisms. Let's turn our attention now to the baptistry. We hold to what is called believer's baptism, which means that only those who have already believed in Christ and therefore are already saved are to be baptized. So salvation has already taken place. There's no saving power in these waters. All the saving power belongs to the Lord and his will. So baptism is an outward symbol, outward sign of an inward grace. It's a public testimony of what has been done in the soul. The one who is being baptized is proclaiming to you that he has died with Christ and has risen again to newness of life with Christ. And that is what these two young men would like to proclaim to you today. So Nick and Isaac, would you come out here? Nick is the father. He's baptizing his two oldest sons today. Go ahead. It feels really... Oh, that's nice. I'm going to get in after. That's really nice. Here we go. All right. Isaac has prepared some words for you guys. There you go, brother. I can hold it for you.
Thank you. I grew up in a Christian home with the truth of God constantly being taught. But I struggled in believing lies and following the ways of my sin nature. But God put people in my life to continually preach the gospel to me, including my youth pastor, parents, pastor, Flying U Truth Ranch staff, grandparents, and many more. I ended up at the Flying U Truth Ranch in January of 2023. God used the people there to ultimately help soften my heart and open my eyes to his truth. While I was there, I gave my life to Christ on November 26, 2023. In June of 2024, I graduated from the Flying U Truth Ranch. I believe that Jesus saved me from my sins and that today is a step of obedience to Christ. Mm-hmm. A verse I'd like to share with you is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. It's been cool to see the work of the Lord in your heart and the time that I've known you. Nick also wanted to share some words to Isaac before he gets baptized. So go ahead, Nick.
I'm so filled with joy today. I knew that was going to happen. Okay. This is the best gift a father and mother can get, to see their children believe in the Lord and to choose to obey him and be baptized. And we're getting two in one day, so it's pretty amazing. Isaac, having you be such an intimate part of my own conversion story 16 years ago And now seeing God do a great work in your life, it has been such a blessing to experience your conversion and to see the Lord's work he has been doing in your life. Hold fast to the truths of God and seek to know him more and more each day to find your identity and who you are in Christ as a child of God and rest in the peace that it brings to your life.
Amen, brother. I'll take this. Amen. We are praising the Lord for his work in their lives. All right. So, Nick, if you come around here. There you go, Isaac. All right. We've already gone through this, but I'll ask it for your sake. Isaac, have you turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Amen, brother. Well, based upon your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in his death, raised with Christ into newness of life. Amen. Oh. Amen, brother. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on out here, Trevin. I love this guy. I'm sure most of you have had a handshake or a high five from Trevin. It's been so cool to see the Lord's work in your life too, my brother. You bring so much joy to my own heart. And here, I'll have you share your story with the people here.
I'm getting baptized today, and I'm getting baptized in obedience to the Lord. I fully believe that the Lord saved me, because in his word, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Christian home with loving parents, constantly teaching me the word. But it wasn't around age 9 or 20 or 21 when I saw my brother living in deep rebellion and feeling the weight of his sin that it caused me to start digging into the word more in pain, more attention in the water. This is when I knew that I had to repent and ask God for forgiveness of my sins. After this, I had a thirst to know the Lord more. I also wanted to work on being patient and kind with people. I recently came out of a time of rebellion and found myself sinning in all the same ways my brother did. It helped me see how blind and sin can be, but God in his great mercy forgave me. I really want to live my life as a good example to others and point them to the Lord. The verse I chose was John 10:9-10. I'm the door. If anybody enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundant.
Excellent. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for sharing that verse, brother, and your testimony. All right, Nick.
Trevin. It has been such a joy to see you come to know the Lord, to see a conviction and eagerness to want to grow in the Lord, and to be a light to those around you. You have so many natural talents that can be great tools to use for the Lord's work. Seek God with all your heart. Seek to know him, to trust him, and to find your identity of who you are in him as an adopted child of God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay. Go ahead and have a seat. Isn't it nice and warm? Yeah. I feel like a hot tub after this. All right. Trevin, have you turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Amen, brother. Based upon your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in his death and raised with Christ into newness of life. Brother. Love you, brother. Amen.